Welcome to the Daddy Duty Podcast.
What up?
What up, everybody? I'm your host, Dark Shark, along with...
I'm your co-host, D.
Just D. Just the letter.
D. It's just D. It's just D.
Very simple, very simple. D, today's show, we're going to talk about sports.
Yes.
And parents and youth sports. It's a very important topic because a lot of parents take things to crazy levels.
You know? Yeah.
I believe you were a coach before and you ran into, you had to deal with some parents. Do you have any crazy stories?
Oh, man. Yeah, I had, you know, I got some experience being a youth coach. I was a youth coach at a local YMCA when we used to live in Houston, man. And it's weird. You run into two different types of parents, man. You run into parents that care, and then you run into parents that just like don't care. And like I was coaching like flag football for second graders. So when you get those parents that don't care, like it's really bad. You know what I'm saying? It's almost worse than the parents to care.
Now, when you say that the parents don't care, you know, like, are they just like, oh, my 7-year-old is just running around, with a bunch of other kids, and I'll just leave them here for an hour and I'll come back and pick the kid up? Like, is that what's bad about it? Or?
Yeah, it's kind of like, okay, it's a lot of what you just said. It's a lot of, I'm just kind of trying to find something for my kid to do. You know what I'm saying? So I'll bring them here, sign them up for flag football or whatever. You know what I'm saying? And it kind of, what makes it bad is like they won't motivate their child to like engage in the game. You know what I'm saying? So it kind of ruins the experience for the other kids. You know what I mean? And then when you have those parents that care too much, it's a bad combination. It's a real bad combination.
Yeah, the parents on the sideline who are like, you know, counting the minutes and be like, my kid only played 14 minutes. Like, why did Billy get to play 5 more minutes than him? You know, they're checking the stats and the kids are looking at the scoreboard like, you know, I need to get another touchdown and my dad's going to give me money if I score 2 touchdowns or whatever. I get to stay up late, whatever the incentive is, you know, to... Some parents are like, you know, it's like sometimes for 7-year-olds or whatever, playing sports is not, it's, you know, it's cool to get people involved into sports, but it's not, you know, there's no all-star, well, maybe there is, there probably is all-star teams, but
yeah,
you don't have to be that crazy, you know, let the kid play and have fun and enjoy it. And of course, we want to teach people about winning and losing, but it doesn't mean everything.
That's how I feel. I agree. I totally agree, man. I feel like it's you have to understand that it's like certain levels to things. You know what I'm saying? Like, I try not to be too hard on the kids because, like I said, I was coaching second grade flag football. So I try not to be too hard on the kids as far as winning and losing goes. You know what I'm saying? Because I was like, you know, I feel like there's a time and place for everything. You know what I'm saying? And you don't want to harp on them too hard at that level. Simply because you don't want to kill, you know what I'm saying, their drive to want to play the game, you know what I'm saying? So I feel like you got to have a real good balance, you know what I'm saying? But I feel like, you know, sometimes I ran into some parents, man, like they were, like you said, they were counting minutes and counting touchdowns and things like that, man. And I'm just like, you know, like, man, like, it that may be a little too early at this point, you know what I'm saying? But you know, you got kids nowadays getting scholarships in like the 8th grade and stuff like that. So, I mean, I guess it's just, you know, some parents out there that are just, you know, that you know, that's their motivation to want to push their child, like even at the lowest level of sports. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So a guy who's constantly in the news and all over the place is LeVar Ball.
Yeah.
You know, the CEO of Big Baller Brand, his son plays in the NBA for the Lakers.
Yes, sir.
Lonzo Ball, and he's got some other kid going to UCLA, and then the last one he just pulled out of high school.
Yeah.
And he's going to, I guess he's just going to do whatever. But did you know that he was recently, according to USA Today, they declared LeVar Ball the worst sports parent ever.
Really? I didn't see that, but are you serious?
Ever.
That's insane. That's insane. I totally disagree. Totally disagree. That's insane. That's insane.
You know, I'm sure that there's, to me, I don't know him personally, you know, he's got his one son into the NBA. His other son is, you know, on his way to UCLA and is probably going to make the league as well. And the youngest one is supposed to be maybe the best out of them all. So, but I don't think that maybe like as a sports dad, you know, he roots for his kids. He's pushing them, you know, to be the best, but I feel like people just don't like him.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like people don't like him and they don't like him and they kind of let that impede on what, you know, on their thoughts on him in other departments. Like, I feel like you may not like his personality and the way he comes off, you know, regarding certain things. But I feel like as far as a father, like, it's a lot of things that he does that I think are kind of dope. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like it's really cool that he's such a big ambassador for his sons. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like as far as a black male, if we have more males like that in our community, you know what I'm saying? I feel like we'd have an even stronger presence in our communities. You know what I'm saying? Because I feel like kids need positive reinforcement, you know what I'm saying, in their lives. And I've always thought it was dope. Ever since I first got an introduction to LeVar Ball, I've always thought it was dope how he kind of, you know, just always boosted his kids up and always spoke positive about them.
Yeah, you know, I don't have that much of a problem with that. I just feel like, you know, he's trying to become bigger. I feel like he's trying to become a bigger star than his kids, who are actually the stars, which is the reason why anybody even knows who he is.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, if Lonzo isn't a good basketball player and doesn't make the NBA, like, there's no big baller brand that anybody's going to, you know, care about or pay any attention to. But he's kind of put himself in the front, you know. I feel like he's trying to become bigger than his kids. And I don't know how I feel about that. Actually, I know how I feel about it. I don't like it. I don't know about his parenting style, but I will say that I don't think that he should be like, you know, I feel like he's using his kids to build himself, to fulfill his ego. That's all.
I agree with that to an extent. You know, I definitely agree with that to an extent, because I feel like sometimes he kind of makes himself kind of the center of attention when the attention should be on his son. Just like, I feel like it's kind of silly for them to go and look for, you know, his commentary after basketball games as far as how to as far as regarding to how his son performed. I mean, there's no other parents in the NBA that they go to when they talk to after games about, you know, like how their child performed in a game. You know what I'm saying? So I kind of feel like that definitely sheds light to what you're saying as far as him, you know, taking advantage of the situation and making himself bigger than his son is, when it really should be about his son. But I also feel like, you know, I feel like a lot of times people, you know, like you said earlier, people just, they don't like him, because I feel like a lot of the things he's done, as far as like wanting his son to play for the Lakers and stuff like that, we've seen it before. We just didn't see it from such a large personality. You know, because like we can think about Eli Manning, you know what I'm saying? And back when he was drafted to the Chargers and like he didn't want to play for the Chargers, you know what I'm saying? So like, you know, but it just didn't come off like LeVar Ball comes off.
Well, I don't know how people make articles that say he's the worst dad ever. I'm sure that there's way worse sports parents that aren't as high profile. Like they're down at your local hockey rink and their kid is never going to make the NHL, you know? I'm sure there's a lot more bad parents like that. You know, the ones who are getting into fights with people and beating up referees and stuff that happens all the time. You know, those are the real worst parents, but, they're, you know, he's not the only, you know, black dad who's, you know, sort of been really out there about, aggressively getting their kids to the top level. You know, there was a Tiger Woods dad, Earl Woods. He was a helicopter parent, you know, he's had Tiger Woods with a golf club when he was, you know, a baby and, really pushed him and get to become the greatest golfer of all time, perhaps. And there's also the Serena Williams and Venus Williams father. He was heavily criticized for being like super overbearing, to the girls, but they also became, you know, Serena Williams, the greatest women's tennis player of all time. So sometimes, I don't know if it's, sometimes, you know, I guess if you want your kids to strive for greatness, maybe you have to have a certain level of pushing them to be the best at what they're doing.
Right. I feel like one of the things that you have to get, you know, your child to understand, you know, without being too overbearing is, I guess, one of those things that you want them to understand is if you want them to be like the best that, you know, the best there is at whatever they want to do, it's going to take some extra work. You know what I'm saying? But like I said, it's earlier, it's a fine line, you know what I'm saying, between doing too much, you know what I'm saying, and doing just enough, you know what I'm saying, to kind of give them that extra push that they need. You know, to excel in whatever it is they want to do. Like, I don't know if you've heard of this guy. He's a world-class Olympian. And he was like a weight trainer, like way back in the day, but he comes on the local radio here in Austin and his name's John Brown. But he has, sons that are receivers. One's a receiver at Stanford. Another's a receiver at Notre Dame. And I think another one's a receiver at Mater Dei in California in high school. But like he always comes on the radio show and they always just kind of ask him about, like, you know, how he raised his sons and, you know, exactly like what he did to like put into them. You know what I'm saying? To be like, you know, the athletes that they are. And it's always really interesting because he always says that, like, he has a little like LeVar Ball in him, but like he's not LeVar Ball. You know what I'm saying? So just like to listen to his commentary about how he like raises his children. It's almost like the polar opposite of LeVar Ball as far as like the personality. But when it comes to like that drive and that push, it's almost like the same though. It's the same, but the personalities are totally different. So I definitely believe there's several different ways of getting your child to excel in whatever they want to do.
The one problem I do believe with LeVar Ball is that he's really not making it easy for his son to excel. And this is going to go for all of his kids now, because now he's LeVar Ball is a famous guy and you're going to see people gunning for his kids to really make it difficult on them. And I think you're sort of seeing a little bit of that with Lonzo. Like, he's a rookie and he's only 19 years old, but he's got, you know, every sports center up, you know, they show the game and they talk about LaVar Ball. You know, what did he do? Did he make baskets? And he's struggling right now. And it's and people are really going to go after him. And the light is really shining on him to show, like, you know, right now he's not playing very well at all. And, but the light is really bright on him. It's not like the rest of the rookie class where nobody's, the whole nation isn't concerned with what, you know, Markelle Fultz is doing in Philadelphia.
Oh, no,
you know,
free throw is pretty bad.
If he has a bad game, nobody cares. Well, I mean, it is horrendous, right? But Lonzo Ball's got a big target on his back, and it's because of his dad. His dad is going to make it significantly harder for his son to, you know, people, every game, people are going to get up and really want to put the screws to him because, you know, it's not an easy league. So his dad said that he's better than Steph Curry, and I don't know, you know, not in the future. He said today.
I definitely agree. That definitely puts a lot of pressure on you. You know what I'm saying? And like I said, I don't think he does everything right. But I think to call him like the worst sports father ever, like I'm just trying to go through my head right now. And I'm sure if I put a lot of thought into it, I could think of a lot of worse sports parents. You know what I'm saying? But I agree that he does make a lot of players in the NBA want to get up to face Lonzo Ball. And right now he's kind of putting up, you know, not the greatest numbers, but I don't feel like he's going to be like a superstar player. Like, I feel like he's going to average like maybe like, I'm going to say like maybe like 16 to 18 points a game, maybe like further along in his career. He's going to rack up in the assist department. And I also feel like he's going to be a good rebounder. But as far as like, you know, being like some of the Lakers of the past, like a Kobe, like a superstar status like him, or like maybe like a Shaq or something like that, I don't quite see him reaching that level. But I think he's gonna work out. But I agree that his father definitely put a lot of pressure on him. But I also want to see him. I want to see him rise to the level. You know what I'm saying? I want to see him rise to the occasion, and I want to see him face that pressure head on. You know what I'm saying? Because I feel like if he does that now, then his second year in the league, he'll be better for it.
Yeah, and I think that you're right. So enough about LaVar Ball, because people shouldn't really even be talking about this guy. He doesn't play in the NBA. I know he said he could beat Michael Jordan one-on-one. But, yeah. Maybe everybody should be talking about him, but he should be somewhat irrelevant. How do you feel about do you have any tips or anything like that for parents, you know, so they can not, like, what are the mistakes that they make?
When I was coaching, I feel like one of the biggest mistakes that parents made was they don't let the coach ask them for their help. They like to provide their help anyway, even when their help's not needed. And sometimes their help, what they may consider help, you may consider as a coach getting in the way. And, you know, and I feel like that's one of the biggest issues that I faced when I was a coach. You know, it's like the parents want to do, you know, they want to get involved, and they, you know, and you know, it can go from helping you organize the team for plays, you know, because I was dealing with second graders. So, you know, rounding them up at practice sometimes was a little hard. So you ask some of the parents, you know, like, hey, can you kind of help me like ring the kids in? But then it, you know, it goes from that to, well, then, you know, they kind of ask you, can they coach one side of the ball? You know, then they want to start calling plays. Then next thing you know, it just blows into, you know, something that it definitely wasn't supposed to be. You know what I'm saying? So I think that's like one of the major issues. It's just parents, like, if the coach wants your help, trust me, he'll ask you.
So some of the parents, they turn into like Puff Daddy, you know? All up in your song. All up in your videos.
Definitely. Definitely. That's definitely what it turns into, man. You know?
They just can't let the kid have the shine, you know? They gotta interject. Yeah, I feel like a lot of parents interfere too much with it. So it's like, I feel like the parents should just have respect. You know, you put your kid into a sport and they're being coached by whoever, you shouldn't be out there challenging the coach's calls and, you know, questioning the minutes and stuff like that. You should just be like, listen, you know, maybe your kid's not good enough to play as much as you want, or but it shouldn't be up to you. Shouldn't be on the sidelines talking shit about the coach and then getting back in the car and the kid's like, Mom, I didn't get to play, I only played for 5 minutes, and you're like, yeah, the coach is a dummy, and he, you know, you shouldn't. I don't feel like you should. And I feel like it's a mistake to like interfere and obsess about playing time and statistics and I really feel like people should just you should be able to bite your tongue as a parent a little bit more. But you want to know what? My kid's not in sports yet. So
you might be on your sideline in your Dockers, you know what I'm saying? In your Nike Monarchs, you know what I'm saying? Running up and down the soccer sideline talking about, she wasn't offside. She wasn't offside.
Punching the ref in the head and getting, you know, it's a really big thing that happens here is
really?
That there's especially at hockey games, these youth hockey games. Yeah, parents will fight in the stands.
Doing too much.
Like if the one kid, like, because most of these hockey leagues, they're like, nah, there's no checking like up until a certain level, and so. Sometimes, you know, a kid might like rub a kid out a little too hard and the parents are like, you know, the one guy's like, oh, good hit, Toby, Tommy, whatever the kid's name is. And then the other parent like is like, that was a dirty play, blah, blah. Then the parents start fighting. It happens all the time. There's so many parents who are banned from watching their kids play hockey because they can't keep themselves in control in the stands. It's hella embarrassing. And I've gone to a couple of these hockey games, and you know, people they get way too wound up watching, you know, like 7-8-year-olds trying to play hockey. Like it's really important. Everybody wants their kid to make the NHL, but the fact of the matter is only, you know, 0.01% of the kids are gonna make
it. You're right, man. Like. Half of these kids won't even make it on their high school team. You know what I'm saying? Like,
the way I always look at it is like, there's, for instance, I'll just talk about hockey because it's easy or whatever. But in the NHL, you know, you got 30 teams and each team has like 20 players. So there's only 600 jobs in the NHL. And the NHL is not just for like Canadians, it's worldwide. There's Russian players, there's, you know, all these European players. So realistically, you know, there's only a few hundred jobs available. And it's not easy to.
Yeah.
It's not easy. Like everybody, the odds are is that you're probably not going to make it.
You got a better chance
versus
being a banker.
That you are. So, you want to know what? That's not even true because.
Here we go. All right.
Check this out. I go to the
here
bank.
Here we go. Here we go.
Get off topic. And,
right.
You know, I had to go into the bank, into the teller. Talking to the teller, she's like, oh, did you know that you can do online banking? Like, you can do this online. And I'm like, did you know, like, you're slashing your own throat? If you tell me not to come in here and I could just do it online, they're going to stop paying you. They're going to tell you there's no, you know, like, If anything, you should be like against the internet. You should be like, you know, don't get any data on your telephone. Like, that's what you should be doing, because if you're going to sit there and tell every customer, oh, did you know that, like, how great online banking is, you're going to be out of a job. I'm like, did you ever consider this? And she was like, yeah. I'm like, it's so, like, I'm just worried about G. I'm more worried about the banker.
And the funny thing is they have them promoting the item that's going to eventually make them lose their job.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Oh, man.
I would never tell anybody to go online. I'd be like, please come back again tomorrow. You sure you want to take out 500 today? You know, like, maybe you should just take out 100 at a time. Come back again tomorrow.
For real, man.
That's what I would tell them. Like, job preservation. I'm not even do it online. Oh, like, man. Crazy.
That was funny. Man.
But yeah, so getting a job at a bank is going to be very
difficult.
Right,
you're right. I guess you're right, man. Maybe you should try a little harder at the NHL.
A lot of people think it's, you know, there's a big discussion right now talking about sports, and especially contact sports like football, because it's being sort of out there now that it can have very long-term effects on your health, right? Now I understand that you're having
a
child coming up, and it's a boy. Is football in the plans for your son? Like, are you going to encourage?
Yes, I know you're a humongous football guy. I played football most of my life, like all the way through high school. I went in the military. I tried to play football in the military, but I got deployed. But if I would have had the opportunity, I probably would have played in the military. If my son wants to play football, if he wants to play football, you know, I think I'm going to let him. I'm definitely going to, like, introduce the sport to him. And I'd like him, you know, to know the sport. But as far as him playing, if that's what's on his heart, if that's what he wants to do, I'm not going to stop him from doing that. I feel like, you know, I feel like I'm kind of like a football advocate, I guess. You know, I definitely believe that CTE is a byproduct of too many blows to the head, which often happens in football. But I feel like if my son was to want to play football, I wouldn't introduce him to full contact football until later on in his life. Because I feel like nowadays, man, there's so many like 7-on-7 flag leagues and stuff like that, that a lot of these like elite high school players are like going to during the summer and stuff like that and playing in, where there's like really no pads. You just, you know, you gotta be agile and, you know, you gotta use your speed and there's not a lot of contact. But they're playing, you know, playing in those types of leagues all the way up until they get to high school and stuff like that. And then that's when they're starting to play, you know, like full contact football. So I think if he wants to play football, that's probably the approach I'll take.
I have a very different, outlook on it. And I don't feel like football is going to look the same in 20 years as it looks right now. And I mean, we can sit and debate it, but I feel like if I had a son, I wouldn't want my son to play football or hockey. They are really dangerous, and for the long-term benefit of their health, I would probably steer them towards other sports that where you don't have to get constantly being getting hit in the head. I don't think it's that great for the brain. Like, I wouldn't suggest them doing boxing. Now, if they were really insistent that they wanted to do it, you know, that's fine. But I'm definitely going to be like, here is a basketball, or here is a tennis racket. We'll see how it all works out in the future. But I always wonder what football is going to look like in the future, because they're constantly changing the rules to try to make it safer. But at the end of the day, you have gigantic men who are incredibly fast throwing themselves into people.
Me personally, I feel like,
we'll see.
In 20 years, I feel like what's going to happen in football is the same thing that's starting to happen in the NBA in the offseason. You're going to start to see a lot of little leagues pop up, like little independent leagues and things like that. They get like their own contracts with TV networks and stuff like that. And they'll be a lot smaller than the NBA and function on a lot smaller level. But I think it'll be a safer brand of football. And I think it'll still provide that speed that people look for. You know what I'm saying? That excitement. It won't be as big of a crowd, because I still think you'll have the NBA. I mean, not the NBA, but the NFL. And I think the NFL will still be out there, and it'll still be the top level that people want to get to. But I think that there'll be other like small leagues that'll like provide things, like I said, like 7-on-7 flag football. I think a lot of those leagues are going to start to pop up, to where people may be able to go play. And if these leagues get the right type of sponsorships and things like that, and get the get the right type of like networking contracts, then people may not be able to go and make the money that they can make in the NFL, but they can go and play in some of these smaller leagues and things like that and still be able to make a living. And it won't have as such a, you know, it won't be as such a detriment to their bodies and their, you know, and to their minds.
Okay, I'm just checking in to see, you know, because a lot of people are now, there's a lot of people who play football and who have played football, who are now like, you know, I played and I put my body on the line for it so that my kids don't have to. But there's also a lot of people who 100% will put their kids into football. It's a lovely game. And I'm excited to see what the future has in store, because I hope that they make it safer so that, you know, as safe as they can possibly make it. I've said for a long time they might have to make them take off their helmets, but it might be the only thing to do. But we'll see. I feel like if they take off their helmets, you wouldn't have so many head collisions. You know, you wouldn't use your head if you didn't have a giant helmet on it and thinking that you're safe. Gives you a little bit of a false sense of security, right? But
yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
But we'll see.
I know this past summer, it was just one last thought on it. This past summer, there was a league that supposedly Michael Vick was involved in, a couple other former NFL players, and it was a flag football league. And I saw the highlights on YouTube. And it looked like something that may have some potential, because, like you said, it's there's going to be a lot of parents and a lot of kids that are going to look for an alternative. You know what I'm saying? They still may want to play something that looks like football, but they may not want to play football. So we'll see what happens.
All right. Well, I'm glad that we got to have this discussion about youth sports and pro sports and football and some things that people can do to not, you know, some mistakes that parents are making by obsessing about the scoreboard and playing time and trying to coach the team. You probably shouldn't do that. Don't ruin it for the kids. Come on, parents.
Get it together.
Come on, parents out there. Get it together. It's not about you, you know. You got to ask these kids, you know, like whose dream are they doing this for their dream, or because you couldn't make it, you couldn't make it to the major league soccer level. Now you're going to like force your kid to run around and play soccer until they drop because they're trying to fulfill your dream. You know, are they playing it because it's their dream, or are they playing it because it's your dream? Let the kids have their own dreams.
And let them pursue it kind of like, you know, the way they want to. Let them, you know, you can, you'll find out if they really want to play or not. You know what I'm saying? And if they show you early on that they don't want to, you know, they really don't have a lot of interest in it, don't force it on them, because it's going to end up ruining the experience for the kids that really do want to be there and play.
That's right.
All right. All right.
So let's wrap the show up. All right, we from last episode, apparently, you had some bars to spit. So I don't know if you're ready.
I'm ready, dog. I'm ready. I brought that fire, and I tried to bring five of the hottest rappers I know with me. You know what I'm saying? And they all go by the name of D. I got them all here with me right now. They're all here with me right now. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? You want to give us a round of applause? You want to hit that for us? You want to hit that for us? Go ahead. Thank you. We appreciate that. I'm speaking on the behalf of all five of
them. All right, so you want to just go straight acapella, or do you need a beat for this? All right, well,
okay, hopefully I get this right on the first take, man. I don't want to mess up, okay? It says, daddy duty, do my duty as a daddy. Packing the snacks, putting diapers in the baggie. Every day, rain or shine, sad or happy. Tell you jokes, make you laugh, pick you up, you feeling crappy. I always got your back, that's a fact and I mean it. Every day I strive to be the best dad, and you're the reason. What? Oh, bars, dog. Bars. Bars, dog. Mixtape drop it soon, dog. What, dog? I heard a hater call me. What, dog? I heard a hater call me. You're hot fire. Your mind's not hot, dog.
Man's not hot. Well, listen, maybe we'll turn those magical bars into that intro song.
Yeah.
That might be a good idea. And then as always, we end always on the show with the dad joke of the day. Now I'm bringing the fire with my dad jokes. I don't know if you have any dad jokes, but,
please. Cause I always get a good laugh.
All right. How do you make holy water? You boil the hell out of it.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, Dad. Yeah. Yo, oh my goodness, yo, oh man.
I told you I had the heat this
week. Yeah, you brought it that time, Dad. Oh, yo, all right, yo, bore the hell out of it, duh.
Exactly.
Oh, man. Yo, that sound like what you got from my grandpa or something, Dak. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, he coming with that hot fire. Oh, man. All right, I'm going to try to follow it up with one. It may not be as funny, but I'm going to try. I'll try. Here we go. Okay. What did the mountain climber name his son? Cliff.
I don't know. Damn, that's not a good dad joke. That's not good. You know, I got the heat right here. I'd like to give a big shout out to all of the sidewalks for keeping me off the streets.
No.
Nothing? Damn. I thought that was
That's pretty low for your standard, dog. I'm gonna need you to try again. Go ahead, try it again. Try it again. Try it again. Try it again. Try it again.
Should've just
try it again.
Okay. Why did the Scarecrow win an award? Because he was outstanding in his field.
He dropped that one for the fall holiday season.
That's right.
Yo, that was stupid, dog. Oh, I bet, dog. I bet. You just got like a book of dumb dad jokes, dude. On deck. I'm going to try harder next week, dog. Mine was pretty funny, man. I thought I tried pretty hard, dude. Hold up, dog. Hold up, man. I'm going to need you to be more encouraging, dog.
All right.
I'm trying, man. Damn. Listen,
I want you to listen, you're going to have to, you know, you're going to have to start practicing a little bit more and,
all right.
And maybe we'll get it together next week. You know, you have a whole week to try to get this together. I think you can get it done. I think you can bring the fire next week. You brought the bars.
You didn't like the cliff, dog?
Next
you
week,
didn't like the,
dad
you didn't
joke.
Like the, You didn't like Cliff?
It was good. It just wasn't. Nah. I really wasn't feeling it that tough. But it was okay. It was still a good dad joke. I didn't feel like it had the bite, you know, the real punch. You know, when I heard it, I was like, oh, I should have.
I feel like you're just telling me that, dog. But it's okay,
good,
though.
It was
dog.
A good dad joke.
It's okay, dog. It's all right, dog. It's okay, dog. I'm going to try again, dog. I'm actually going to a dad joke convention, so when I get back, I'm going to be ready.
Okay, beautiful. As everybody knows, you can go to the website. You can download the show on iTunes, find it on Stitcher Radio, anywhere where you pull up podcasts. Enjoy, and feel free to leave comments, or if you have a topic that you want to be discussed on the show, we can definitely do it. But we're here to entertain you guys, so if you want to engage with us, feel free to drop us a line.
We appreciate you listening. We appreciate you listening. For shizzle. Yo.
Appreciate all the listeners. Whoever's listening in Ireland, shout out. I don't know who that is, but
we appreciate that.
In Ireland downloaded
worldwide.
The show. I didn't know that it could get that far. But I love you out there. All right, folks. Daddy duty.